Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 13. We'll be looking at Acts 13 this morning, 1 to 13. However, we will begin with a couple verses previous to that. As we get started, as we consider this morning, the church militant. The church militant. Let me ask you this. Are you a militant Christian this morning? Are you aggressive for Christ? Do you get after it for Him? We need to. That's what we need to do in these days. And thank God that across our land there are believers standing up like never before. And that is so wonderful. And it should be encouraging to our hearts this morning that that is taking place. And we should desire to be just like that if we are not already. And so in our text this morning, we're going to see a lot of encouraging things from the history of the church. It's our history. We are Acts 29 this morning. We are the continuation of what was started back here in the book of Acts. And so I trust that you will be challenged this morning, that you will be encouraged, that there will be some gold nuggets of truth that you will grab a hold of this morning. And as I pray before we begin the message, I trust that you'll be praying in your hearts that God gives you a big container to be filled with Him this morning. Let us pray together. Father, we thank You so much for Your blessing already today. It's been a great morning. You have blessed from the beginning and on through till now. And we ask it will be that way right through the end of the message this morning. We ask that You will come in power, glory, and work in our hearts today. Give us a heart that is like a sponge, ready to soak up everything that You have for us. May we be better than Bounty paper towels. May we just get it all this morning. And we ask that You might just direct our steps, and may our hearts be on the edge of our pew this morning, ready to receive what You have for us today. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to work in and through me. Fill me now for the message. I trust in You for this. I can't do this without You, so You take it and You bring it as You see fit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The church militant. I like that word. And that's a good word that the American Council of Christian Churches talks about a lot. And I believe we need to have that word going through our hearts and our minds this morning. The church militant. Well, Acts chapter 13, where we are this morning, picks up where chapter 11 left off. Last week we had the interlude. We had some great things that were still happening back there in Jerusalem. And now we're moving on from that point. So you have Acts 13 right there. Just flip back to Acts 11. The last two verses, 29 and 30. Where it says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So the last verse of chapter 12 gets us in the flow once again. So look at Acts 12, 25. Where it says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Well, Colossians 4:10 informs us that John Mark was a cousin of Barnabas. So we have a family team going out with Saul into the ministry. These three men did not know it, but the greatest chapter of church history was about to happen. The greatest time was about to happen. The Gentile church at Antioch is going to get direction from God as to what they need to do. And God says, I want you to hit the road. I want you to go out on a missionary journey. I want you to get out there. And while you're out there, be prepared to face some difficulties. Remember, the church militant will face difficulties. Murphy's Law says this, three little things in Murphy's Law. I don't like it. Nothing is as easy as it looks. Everything takes longer than you think. If anything can go wrong, it will. Now, once in a while in my life, I have a something that happens that just says Murphy's Law just doesn't get it all the time. Isn't it great when you do a project and it goes faster than you think? When the fix is so easy, it's the staple button. That was easy. Man, that is great. I love when that happens, but that doesn't happen all the time or very often at all, actually. But everybody on earth is going to encounter hardships of life. Everybody! Who's that? That's everybody here. We are all going to face hardships in life. Now, troubles will cease when we die, if we're saved. For the unbeliever, their trouble is only beginning. And it is going to be horrible in hell, and then worse than that in the lake of fire when they are sent there after their great white throne judgment. Wow. But saved or lost, this life has its hardships. I learned, I think it was Friday of this week, I learned that one of my classmates from Lebanon High School lost his wife of 41 years. Now, I want to tell you something. Man, that hit me hard. That hit me good. Just the way he said it hit me good. And I got to be thinking about the souls. I pray about the souls of my clan. I'm a sentimental person. And I love my 1976 class of Lebanon High School. And I'm concerned about their souls. We have our next reunions in October. Another opportunity. The neat thing is, after all these years of graduation, all coming up on 45, I think, that's scary too, that a lot of my classmates have come to know Christ as their Savior since graduation, and that is really awesome. And so we're going to have that oneness in Christ there, and also opportunity to talk to the rest of them who do not know Christ yet. But the troubles of life, they're going to come. Saved or lost, life has its hardships. The saying, accept Christ and everything will be fine. Now, everybody in here that is saved can say, false. Lies. That is not true. You know, some of the finest Christians on planet Earth have gone through very deep waters in this life. I've thought about this many, many times and even asked the dumb question, why? You know, people like Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate, why did he get Alzheimer's? Why did their son commit suicide some years ago? Here they are. Fine Christian people serving the Lord all the days of their life, producing all this children's music and winning so many souls, but they went through the hardships. They go through. It's all over the place. My favorite evangelist, Tom Farrell, passed away this week at the age of 69 from a brain tumor. His wife went through deep waters physically a number of years ago. She beat that. He got this thing, this brain tumor some years ago. It was defeated and then it came back. And I was really shocked to read that he has gone home to be with the Lord at the age of 69. That man had fire in the pulpit. Hundreds of kids got saved to the wilds when he preached. He's being buried there, if he hasn't been already. We go through hardships. Don't ever think that only certain individuals go through those. Everybody does. People who you know who are just sold out 150% and those that are not. We're all going to go through deep waters. Some of the finest people in the world. Lots of them. As believers, we all face trying times and trying people. We're not all made the same, are we? And sometimes that difference really grates, doesn't it? And then we need the grace of God for those. You know, friends and family are going to let you down. I will let you down. There's no doubt. Dedication to Christ can bring a lot of problems. People who just live for themselves may avoid some things in life. They may, but there's no guarantees. The Christian life should be lived 100% full throttle for the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can be used mightily by God. If I would say to someone, do you want to be used mightily by God? I would think everybody here would say, yes, I do. And you got to be sold out 120% to Him. It's got to happen. Those who fool their lives away forget that there will be zero rewards for that. Only shame. And that's why the Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and then all that will be gone. God will have to do that for us. How we view the spiritual war makes a vast difference in our conduct and our longevity, just as it did with Paul, the greatest missionary who ever lived. And here in our text today, in church history, we have John Mark, who will become the first missionary casualty. We're studying creation in Sunday school. The first boy born kills the second boy. You think sin isn't bad stuff? It is. How can that happen, you wonder? Point number one this morning, the commission of the church militant. The commission of the church militant, verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 13. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away on this very first missionary journey. Wow. You know, God is so far ahead of any movement, any teaching, any ism, any indoctrination that this world or this country can throw. God is so far ahead. And right here, He proves it in the first verse of chapter 13. The church here in Acts 13 was amazingly diverse. God is so far ahead. Check out the list that we have here. This is the church staff at Antioch. All right? This is the church staff. Barnabas, who's he? He's a native of Cyprus. Simeon, or Niger, that is Latin for black. Lucius from Cyrene, that's North Africa. Manion, who was raised with Herod. And then Rabbi Saul. Now that's a diverse church staff. Are you listening, Washington, D.C.? This was a racially integrated group of go-getters that Luke says were prophets and teachers. This is the church staff at Antioch. I love it. This was the original church militant. Antioch is where the action is now. And it was a perfect profile of a missionary church. They were a beautiful picture of what the church would become in this world. This is no accident. This is a powerful, wonderful work of our God. He puts the pieces together. He puts the people together. And the Holy Spirit's commission came as what were they doing? They were worshiping. They were fasting. They were praying. And out of that comes the first missionary journey. We need to take note of that. Fasting. They wanted clear direction from God as to what they should do. What should we do? And it appears that the whole church was involved in this. The whole church, worshiping, fasting, praying. What does that equal? Power with God. They prayed, and then they put their hands on these individuals. They prayed over them, sent them away as missionaries. We are the church. We are a part of this with you. That's what the church says when they commission people and send them out. We are a part of you. We support you. Barnabas and Saul and John Mark left with the full support of the church at Antioch. Commissioning services are still done the same way today. The Antioch church provides a powerful and wonderful example for us today. Point number two, the mission of the church militant. The mission of the church militant, verses 4 and 5. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John to their minister. So the Holy Spirit sends them away, the Holy Spirit enables them, and they very bravely followed the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And as they set sail, Jesus was their captain. Jesus was the captain of their souls. Jesus was the master of their fate, not them. Remember, you are invincible until God calls you home. God's ambassadors are going to stand against the world. They were willing followers. They were spirit-led. We today, we have to be willing to go and to do what God wants us to do. Their first mission was a 130-mile voyage to the port city of Cyprus, and that is Salamis. Now, Cyprus in those days was viewed the way we view Hawaii. Oh, it's paradise. Man, let's go to Cyprus. And John Mark is thinking, yeah, Cyprus. Perfect climate, abundant resources, beautiful beaches, all this. Wow. So then they go to Salamis and they preach, and then they go 90 miles across the island to Paphos. And they preach to the Jews and the Gentiles. And then the realities of spiritual war began to set in. Ah, when you go serve God, there's going to be spiritual war. There's going to be spiritual war going on. So as they're going, little happens at first. Not even in Salamis. They didn't have any trouble there. Nothing. I'm sure John Mark, yeah, this is great. Let's keep going. And they did. The largest city in the island. So John Mark goes along as their helper, or you might say in today's language, the first ministerial intern. That's what he was. The first ministerial intern. Now, John Mark, was most likely raised in a very affluent family. That's where they had big church prayer meetings, in that house. He's later going to write the Gospel of Mark. He wrote that book later on in life, after all of this and a lot of other things came and went. Mark's Gospel, Jesus on the go. It is the go gospel. That's Mark. Mark sets out on this wonderful adventure, probably thinking about that paradise island and thinking that Barnabas and Saul will conquer the world for Christ. But once they got into ministry, reality starts to set in. They would get tired in ministry. They are going to get exhausted in ministry. The accommodations are not always going to be great. They're not staying at the Hilton, folks. No. And Mark is starting to rethink this trip. That brings us to point number three. Opposition to the church militant. Opposition to the church militant, verses 6 through 8. Now it's going to get exciting. And when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Oh my, those people are everywhere. They just want to turn people away from the faith. So here we are, the missionaries, they're arriving at Paphos, it's the capital. And they meet two very influential men there. One, they meet the governor of Cyprus, Sergius Paulus. Luke tells us he was a great man of understanding. He was tired of the world's religion. And when Barnabas and Saul came to town, he wants to hear what they have to say. I love people like that. They want to hear what's the truth. He's looking for the truth. He's looking for the real thing. And then secondly is the wizard Elymas, the sorcerer or Bar-Jesus. Sergius Paulus has been looking to him for a long time now for direction. And this Elymas claims to know the way of salvation. But when the real plan of salvation comes, he wants to turn him away from it. He was skilled in what he did. He held power over the people. He was a very bad individual. So, a spiritual battle is brewing right now. Spiritual warfare is not a fantasy. It is real. And as I said before, the demons and the God's angels, they're here today, and there's a war going on in the air. Now the devil's host, they want you to just go to sleep. They want you to ignore what's being said from the pulpit, from the Word of God. They want you to ignore that. And then God's angel is saying, no, you listen up. We're here for you. We're here to minister for you. So, spiritual war is not a fantasy. It is real. And John Mark is now getting initiation. He's getting an initiation to spiritual war games. A war is going on. You know, life can get really difficult as you follow Christ. I believe that most Christian people who are earnestly trying to follow God are attacked by the devil. He will attack you at your job. He will attack your family. He will attack your children. He will attack everybody around you because he wants to defeat you and take you away from your sold-out effort for Jesus Christ. I believe the vast majority, that's the case. Life can get real difficult as you follow Christ. Lots of Christians go through spiritual wars. Many of us here this morning have gone through some deep waters of spiritual wars. And it doesn't matter who you are. It's big name people, little people. Everybody is going to go through it. There is a cost to sincere following Jesus Christ. Remember that. It's a part of it. Never share your faith and you'll never look like a fool. Never stand for righteousness on a social issue like CRT and you'll never be rejected. Never open your heart and it will never be broken. Serious followers of Christ will experience a lot of negatives, but you are also going to experience joy unspeakable, spiritual victories, and gladness, not to mention a sweet home in heaven. I've written that about a lot of people who have gone on recently. Yeah, that fellow went on to be with God, but man, he's going to have a huge mansion.
Man, it's going to be huge.
Why? Because he gave it all for Christ. So here we are back in our text. For Barnabas and Saul, their swords are drawn. All right, we're in a fight and we're going to fight it. Point number four, the victory of the church militant. The victory of the church militant comes in verses 9 through 12. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, the false sorcerer, Elymas, and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, Sergius Paulus, when he saw what was done, what's that next word? He believed. He believed. Being what? Astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. There's where we need to live. Believe. Be astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. In verse 9, you can picture Saul staring down this sorcerer. I mean, I'll bet he had swords coming out of his eyeballs. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit is a spirit of fire. This is it in the right here and now. That was the Holy Spirit fire on that day. You know, archaeology has confirmed that Sergius Paulus became a believer in Jesus Christ just like Cornelius with his whole house. That's his family, his servants, soldiers, whoever was there, all of them. I love that. That is, it's another Cornelius moment. In church history, they all came to know Christ as their Savior. Now, the spiritual war got to John Mark. And you have to be careful as a believer that you don't go there. No, you always keep your faith and trust in Christ no matter what. Yeah, the war's going to... Plan on it. The war's coming. The devil's coming. His emissaries are coming. It's the reality of spiritual war. Now, the realities of missionary life were too much for young John Mark at this moment in his life. So what does he do? He goes home. Goes home to Jerusalem. He had been through a lot. He saw salvation come to Sergius Paulus in his house. He saw that happen. But John Mark had a soft upbringing. Soft. He was soft. It's going to get tough later, but right now, it was too much for him. Wonderful young man. But at this point in his life, he's the victim of his own uninformed, idealistic expectations. He didn't know that we're going to go into spiritual war. At this moment, Saul thought, man, he's a quitter. He is no good for the ministry. Good riddance. Get on the boat and go home. We don't need you here. In years to come, Saul's going to change his mind about that when Mark got his act together. And he said, bring Mark. He's profitable for the ministry. So there's good comes out of that too. Later, Saul sees his value. And here's the point. It's never too late to get your act together for Christ. Never too late. Never. The militant Christian will know difficulties, and Christ will see them through every single one of them. There will be victory in Jesus. We will be more than conquerors. We are going to win. We're going to win. Our tendency, though, sometimes is to become soft. When that happens, we become ineffective. We don't get the job done for Christ because we're just kind of holding back. That's our tendency. Don't allow that to be your tendency. Paul wrote, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You live your life to the power of Christ, not your own flesh. Your flesh is no good. My flesh is no good. We're losers in our own flesh. No, but you're more than conquerors through Christ. You focus on him. There is vast optimism here in the book of Acts. Great things are have been and are going to be accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us here this morning, we've all been called to war. So, onward, Christian soldiers. That's the way it's got to be. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful truth we find here in our history book, the book of Acts. We see triumph, we see failure, we see great salvation come to people and their whole families. We see all these churches beginning all over the place on these missionary journeys. And so here we are today in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, United States, because of what happened way back there in the book of Acts. Father, may we carry the cross strong in these days. May we not shy away. Give us the power and strength and enablement of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. And we ask that now more than ever before, we will take our stand for Christ, take our stand for his holiness, take our stand for his truth, and propagate the wonderful truth of the gospel of Jesus. We are more than conquerors through him, Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.